and gentlemen, welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live. My name's Carr with my BFF Keon and my friend Jim.
What's up, Carr?
Jim. He's a real gem, that Jim.
We're in the new Pleb Lab.
We're in Pleb Lab 4.0. Version 4.
Did I coin that? I think I'm the first to use that.
I think you did coin it. That's where I saw it. What's your thoughts about the new Pleb Lab?
I feel it's like too fancy. It's like I don't deserve this place, but it's awesome. It's beautiful. We're over here with the Unchained guys, legends. We're literally riding Unchained's coattails. Yeah. I don't know if you can hear that. Can you hear from
it's
there?
It's been a long time coming. I mean, there's a lot of hard work that's been put into Pleb Lab over the course of 4 years. So
I'm hyped.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
It's perfect bull market like setup.
Yeah. Anyways, just wanted to talk about that real quick. But with all that, let's jump into. We have Jim on. So this is Jim. How do you pronounce your last name again?
Carucci. Yeah.
And if you Google that,
I've been doxxed for a while.
He's number one when you Google it. So just Google it. You'll find out his whole history. Anyways, we have you on to talk about your top story this week, which is Jamie V2 release. What's this?
Yeah. So last week or week before, I can't remember. They all blend together. I released a tool called Jamie, and it lets you take files and then instantly transcribe them and then, perform LLM LangChain type stuff on them, just by pressing a few buttons. So I wanted to expand that to the RSS feed. So I, made an interface where you can do that. I think you might be on the old one, but,
I was showing
the old one. So yeah, this is the pre-production. Like you just have a file on your computer, you have it in like a storage bucket somewhere. I wanted to take it to the next level by adding in the ability to search for RSS. So I actually ran it on Stacker News from TabConf and made it write a blog post for me as an example. But you can get real creative with it. You can add in your own custom prompts and you can have it translate in other languages and stuff. It's pretty cool. I'm curious to see what people end up doing with it.
Dude, it looks really good, man. You got everything literally in one box there, and it kind of gives you the option to even customize even further. What are you expecting people to do with the extra customization that you offer here in the advanced features?
Yeah, I expect people to, one request that came off RIP, somebody that's really stoked about this tool is like, I want you to be able to do it in other languages. So I'm going to try to figure out kind of how to optimize around that. But it's cool to see that we're getting, international interest and people for all different kinds of use cases using it. I mostly focused on the podcaster stuff, but I'm thinking that I basically had three pieces in my mind. The first was the pre-production. The next was post-production or related podcast research. You can summarize these podcasts and just see, what other people in your industry or in your niche are saying. The third thing that we're adding in isn't finished yet. It's a little more advanced. Keep an eye out for that. But a hint is that we're the proud owners of pullthatupjamie.ai. So I'm excited to put that out. And I think this will be a nice trifecta of Jamie tools that will, will help you with your podcasting experience and with just like general market research or summary or personal use.
Man, dude, look at that. That's the website, cascader.xyz, Bitcoin, private Bitcoin payable AI services. Check it out. A lot of new apps. You're grinding away over there in that corner, Jim.
That's what I do.
Yeah. Dude, look at this. You got Cascader Vision, Chatbot, now the Jamie one, RSS agent. I'm seeing a trend here. What's next? What's after Jamie? What trend are you seeing? They're all named after, we need a Ric Flair one.
What would a Ric Flair? It would insult rednecks from Georgia and tell them that he's going to take their wives.
It would be like a political bot. Oh, you should do a political bot.
Yeah, somebody was like, make a Darth coin bot. I'm like, I think that's a bad idea. He got pretty mad about Chadbot one time, so I'm not going to do that.
That would be funny, though. Like, you basically would just respawn everything in Darth. Like, it would just be like a Darth.
Yeah, and I understand. Bot. I mean, he comes from background. We saw his background from last week. Like, I get it. I respect that. I don't want to antagonize anyone. I was just having fun with it, and I was surprised he got upset last time. But definitely not a good move to make that. But yeah, I'm open to making other bots. I already have Trump bot, so
yeah. Are you voting this week, Jim? Or are you opting out this election?
No, I think you got to vote. I mean,
who are you voting for?
Free Ross, lower income taxes, maybe even no income taxes. I mean, that's a dream. Yeah, they could renege on all of those, but truth is, like, they're speaking our language, right? They're at least pandering to us. Might as well take advantage.
It's great. Stackers, if you haven't seen this post, check it out. It's a Jamie V2 release. He actually boosted it too, so that goes back into the rewards pool. And yeah, check it out. Cascader.xyz. Uncle Jim, thanks for coming on the show, man. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Boys.
Yeah. Keon. Whoa, round of applause.
Wow. The audience is going wild.
Yeah, that's amazing. You want to take... we can leave the chair. We can leave the chair.
Cool. I think it's up to you, but we're just gonna, it'll be awkward because we have to share a mic. This is my big.
Oh, do you want to sit through the show? You can come here. Yeah, sit through the show. It'll be interesting. People will get experience what it's like having Jim in the lab, and he's been drinking, so you've been warned, Stackers. This is gonna get explicit. It's gonna get explicit. Cool. The Keon, how was your week?
My week was good. I was in an undisclosed location.
Undisclosed.
It's been undisclosed on the internet to people that in the public.
This is weird. Look how far away we are now. Look,
there's a gap here.
There's this gap, and then now I'm on the right side again.
It's like more of a set.
You're on the left side.
It's
Blake.
Yeah, you can't kick me under the table anymore, Car.
Yeah, I can't. We can't play footsies anymore. Look, we're actually sponsored by P. Terry's now. Check that out.
Check it out. What is their slogan? Their slogan's like cheap burgers or something.
Cheap burgers fast. Something. There you go. Sponsored by P. Terry. See, Stacker News Live. Look at that. Already.
My week was good. I went Max Webster of Hivemind. He had a retreat. And so I got to meet a lot of the founders in his portfolio.
Nice.
Which is nearly, I would guess at least probably like half of the Lightning founders of like the last cycle.
Oh, at nice. Least.
Which was pretty cool, like all really cool people. I mean,
there's a couple of PlebLab people in there, right?
Yeah, I mean, as we know from PlebLab, is like founders are awesome people. usually some of the best people. And yeah, I got to meet them, got to hang out in the undisclosed location and meet some of Max's LPs.
Wow. Any LPs we know?
What?
Any famous LPs?
I didn't. None that I met, but I'm sure that there.
Larry Ellison.
There were. I don't think so. I don't think. I mean, the famous ones are probably hard to get to go somewhere physically, and they probably just write checks out, and they have like delegates.
Go. They're just like, go take the money.
They have like delegates who show up, surrogates.
If you don't have to answer this, if you're not comfortable, but what like which. Team did you have like the biggest delta in terms of like being more bullish than you came in?
That's interesting. I learned a little more about Sonota, which had fallen off my radar a bit. I met Austin many years ago. I think Carr actually introduced me to him in Miami one year.
That's a great product.
Yeah, really, really cool problem they're solving, like real problem they're solving, you know. And so I thought that was great. I learned about ViewSats for the first time and what Jordy's doing. I thought, I didn't really get it. It took me a long time to get it. I kept grilling him until I had an aha with it. And I thought that I was actually really intrigued. I'm trying to think of other founders. I mean, really, all the founders are really cool. Nikolas from Galoy was there and told me about some like what after they sold Blink, what maybe Galoy is going to be doing next. And I found that really excited. I've always been bullish on Galoy. It always seems like super principled. and yeah, like needed. It was like, it's very conscious of like non-US, the non-US situation, which is, you know, very contrarian. But literally everyone I met there was really cool. And
man, Tony from Mutiny came through today, and I didn't know what they were up to. I thought they were doing, like, the stuff they're doing is incredible. I don't want to like share anything if it's premature, but keep an eye on that. Those guys, they're doing some really cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what's been shared publicly yet, but, they're moving in a cool direction. And, it's interesting. It overlaps some of the work we've been doing recently, which we've been rolling our own stuff. But then Tony's like, oh, we're going to do some of that. We're going to do this. And I'm like, oh, that sounds exactly like what we're building.
Me too, which is crazy because we're doing very different things, you know?
Yeah. So possibly a great timing. But yeah, really, I mean, really cool. Really cool to be around more founders. I wish we could figure out how to just create a city full of founders.
Just another reason why Pleb Lab is the shit.
That's what we're doing here. Cool. Yeah, I think it's been a good week. It's been a good week.
Yeah, for you, Carr.
Just busy, dude. Tell me about your week. Busy. Busy. We got back from TabConf, came here. We started packing up almost immediately. All the boys came through, helped us.
Except me. I wasn't there.
Except for you. And yeah, dude, we literally unloaded everything on the street behind us in like 30 minutes. It was amazing.
You guys You guys had to come through the front door?
There was the front door, dude. We literally had like all, we had everybody out there just like, just knocked it out in 30 minutes. Dude.
This table we're sitting at, it's like 1,000 pounds. We had to like move this out.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Just moving it 10 feet took like 6 guys.
Yeah. But, dude, it's really high vibes. Been getting a lot of visitors come through. Everybody's super happy to have us in the building. So feels like home.
I saw Jimmy Songs in shorts today.
There you go.
Which I was not, you know, I was like, who is that?
There you go.
His voice sounds familiar. And then it's Jimmy Song in shorts. And I'm like, whoa.
There you go.
That's unexpected.
And that's just the
I didn't even realize he had shorts.
And that was just his ghost. And that was just his ghost.
I thought he was born with pants on and a cowboy hat. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, let's jump into the top 5 stories of the week. The first top story is questions about your code wallet's rotation. This is from DarthCoin, 45 comments, 5,121 sats, Bitcoin McKinney's territory, October 26th. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, DarthCoin's just asking about like people's practices with their cold wallets, like how they use them. I don't know, just more or less probing them on like what they maybe consider good practices for cold storage. I think, you know, a slight judgmental tone, I think, too, in the questions that are a bit leading. But a good thing to discuss in generic terms for people who are interested in this kind of stuff, because most people don't want to talk about their setups, but could benefit from learning about how to improve it. So overall, pretty good discussion. We had a lot of good responses.
Jim, did you read this?
I didn't read this one.
Yeah, I didn't read it either. Sorry, Darth. Oh, we got a question for the audience. Go ahead.
Nothing really unexpected. So Austin, Bitcoin Pleb Dev, look out for his new project launching soon. But he asked if there was a common thread among
can somebody get the door for
the people who answered this thread. And I mean, nothing you wouldn't expect, really. You know, they're using watch only wallets. They're, you know, using air gapped hardware devices for signing.
We got some Hornitos over here if you want some. So, oh, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh,
that's some Hornitos.
But yeah, so that was the.
There's a bottle.
That was my answer to the question. Also, there's Hornitos over here, guys.
Do you want some Hornitos? Hornitos. Give me the.
You're bottle. In control of the mic. You're just.
Do you want a bottle?
Yeah.
Can you make me one too? These guys are. Grab me one. There you go, Sahil. So, Sahil, come in the camera real quick. So, that's Sahil. He's in charge of ABDC, everybody.
That's ABDC leader.
He's the design.
Cult leader.
He's the design cult leader in Austin. It's true.
Trying.
But, yeah, good post.
I think it's for you.
Yeah,
you can. Oh, I didn't realize that.
Good post, Darthcoin. And yeah, we'll go to the next one. The next top story is getting started with Wallet Tano. Darth, another Darthcoin post?
Yeah, he had two for two.
October 28th, 47 like comments. Still on
top. Darthcoin's like the Michael Phelps of top stories. He just keeps racking them up.
What is Wallet Tano? Is this his wallet?
No. So Wallet Tano is like a, it's a Bitcoin wallet, but it has like, apparently, from what I can tell, I haven't used it, but it has, has a lot of the functionality you might want. Typically weekly, what we see, apparently we're operating in a bar and a podcast at the same time. Excuse us, folks. I've always wanted to be a bartender, but a Wallet Tano usually posts once a week on Stacker News. They'll have onboarded a new merchant and they'll kind of be telling us about the merchant and their integration. So they have point of sale functionality, they have lightning addresses, they have custodial, they have self-custodial options. They have, I think, account.
That's a lot of features.
Yeah, they have accounts in the wallets. They have swaps.
What do you think about this design over here? Be honest. Look at that. What do you think about that design?
The type is too vertical.
Look at that. Type is too vertical. You heard it here first.
Design crit
on the fly. On the fly. Yeah.
That would be funny, dude.
No, this is their website right here. WalletTano.com. Have you heard of this or no? I've never heard of it either. But apparently it does email to Lightning.
Yeah, you can. You have a corporate email. You can turn it into Lightning addresses. I guess they have that functionality. Darthcoin kind of lines out some of the
all right, stuff. Later, so. Looks good, right? Looks good. Yeah, looks good.
Yeah, they provide a lot of this functionality. Darthcoin goes over it. Darthcoin's interest generally is more, I would say, bottom up in terms of his guide interests. It's like consumers, merchants, small mom and pop shops. It's kind of the angle of most of his guides, and he describes how that demographic or demographics of people can use Wallet Tano.
Yeah, it looks good on the web, man. Look how fast that was. Boom. There.
Yeah. Yeah, works. Really original design.
Custodial wallet for the web? It works.
Yeah, I hope these guys come to Austin sometime. They seem like real killers.
Yeah.
Corporate email lightning address, that's custodial.
Yeah, it looks like they have a non-custodial version back here. You can create your self-custodial. But you need a...
You might be able to connect it to like one node and then all the corporate goes into different accounts on the corporate node because they have accounts in the wallet.
Cool. Is that all you got, Kim?
Yeah, unofficially Stacker News does this for our corporate email, but it's just because all of us have usernames that match our email address.
Just like really MicroStrategy.
It's a DNS thing. Yeah.
You got any thoughts on this, Topher? Nope. Okay. Everybody just gather around for Stacker News. Love it.
We need a different kind of mic, I think.
We probably need more mics now. We're just going to turn it to a full on every week. Do people actually believe the election result will result in positive changes from Kefford, a base territory? Hmm? October 29th, 146 comments, 3,136 sats. Jim, I know you know what this is. What's this?
I actually commented on this one. Totally like understand where this person's coming from. I mean, in my mind, and this is what I said in the thread is, it's not so much about the positive change. It's about avoiding a negative change. Like I see a very troubling trend of authoritarianism. Like I wrote someone an email this week of just like, I gave myself like a 10-minute time limit and I came up with like 15 egregious violations of civil liberties that Biden administration and by extension Kamala already did. And I'm just like, I don't want more of that. Like, Trump was already in there. I'm sure he violated civil liberties because that's like a sport in the United States, but nowhere near to the same degree. It's like they're going after, you know, concerned PTA parents. You know, they're prosecuting the samurai guys. They're, you know, prosecuting political rivals on bullshit, like novel legal theories that they're inventing. You know what I mean? Like, if you know what I mean? Like, if they took Kamala or Biden and they put them in like the reddest district and then like came up with some bullshit charges, like, would anyone buy that? Like, probably not. Like, the media would probably call that out and they probably wouldn't get away with it. But just because it's in New York City, they get away with it. Like, that's just bullshit. Yeah, the Civil War thing. I mean, I hope it doesn't happen. Like, I really, like, no one wins if that happens. I'm not going to answer that question. But, I mean, look, I mean, for me, ideally it's a divorce that's, like, consensual if it comes to that, but it's, like, you know, there could be like a middle ground where it's like, okay, one side loses, but they're like, yeah, that's not my president, so we're just going to do whatever we want and we're not going to enforce your BS laws either way. That might be better because then you get more localized control, but I don't know.
Keon, you got any thoughts? You got thoughts?
On the Civil War? On everything. Topher Hyde.
Oh, yeah, I actually was heavily involved in auditing the 2020 election, Pennsylvania specifically. It's just a shit show. Like, our whole election system's a shit show. It actually wasn't that bad prior to digital voting machines. Digital voting machines was, like, the beginning of the downfall. But, man, the mail-in ballot stuff, that just wrecked everything. The mail-in ballots, yeah, it's such a joke. And then the lack of voter ID, yeah. So, I mean,
I'm not really sure much changes at all. That's what I think a lot of people have become kind of hopeful that Trump is like telling the truth. I think there is a great chance that Ross actually gets pardoned, and that because I just really think you can't back down on that. There's not really any good reason. I don't think it does anything. But Trump has no reason to tell the truth. Is the other thing I think people are missing, because he can't run for another term. So for him, every lie is zero cost. So when he says he's going to release the JFK stuff, I don't believe him at all. There's probably some significant reason why he didn't release it before. I'm not saying he shouldn't release it. I think he should, but I don't think he will. I don't think he's going to do a lot of the things that are politically unwise. I don't think he's that effective of a wrecking ball. I think he's more afraid of the machine than he appears, so I don't think he actually is going to be effective.
There's definitely speed, like, he's a master of like being confident, right? But he definitely shows like evidence that he shook. Like, you hear him being like, well, I could have prosecuted Hillary, but I didn't. Like, that's him almost pleading with the deep state, I think. But yeah, I mean, let's free Ross. We're gonna free Ross Ulbricht. We're gonna have a big, beautiful welcome home party for Ross.
We'll make the Silk Road great again.
I actually think I'm going to take the far crazy theory here. I don't think there's going to be much difference between Kamala and Trump. I do know if Kamala wins, we'll definitely secede. Texas will secede. So I think that'll happen.
What? You said definitely.
I think definitely we will. Texas will.
Definitely means like 100%.
I'm like 99.9% sure. Oh, if Kamala wins, that we will secede.
Yeah.
I do think if Trump wins, I don't think there'll be much change other than like Ross and like maybe he doesn't tax us on future gains, and that's probably it. I think everything else is just like scheduled as it's supposed to go. But I'm always bearish on politicians and stuff that people say they're going to do, but actually doesn't ever happen. I'm just, you can't fool me anymore at this point.
I would love for the wars to end, but I just don't believe anyone's going to be able to do it. I think that's probably the hardest thing to change. I believe nearly everything else they say except that part.
Dude, I actually there's a good book. I forget the name of it. I need to go get it. But somebody gave me a really good book to read about the whole Hamas and Palestine and Israel conflict. Apparently, there was like some reporter who went over there for like a decade. I'm surprised Joe Rogan hasn't had him on. Like, went over there for like a decade and then came out of it and like wrote this book about how all the sects over there are like broken up and how this one particular group or sect wants to basically destroy human life when it comes to the other sect. It's pretty crazy. But yeah, I need to read that book.
Yeah. I don't know much about that.
Neither do
conflict, I. So I don't, I prefer not to talk about it. I just don't like war. I like people not to die. I think people are awesome.
Ever since I replaced the O with,
gotta, no, hang on. It's a top story. We got to talk
ever
about
since
it.
We, I replaced we don't control the O with the I. Nah, I don't remember it. Anyways, cool. So it sounds like everybody's voting for Kamala.
Yep. Woo. Wow. I'm really just a Waltz fan, but if to get Waltz in, I'll vote on Kamala. So
I'm not voting. Are you voting? Who's voting this? Who's actually voting on Tuesday? Everybody's voting.
You can vote early too.
Everybody's voting. Oh, okay, so everybody but me is voting.
So are you a Waltz fan or are you a School Shooters fan?
I'm friends with both of them.
Cool. So okay. So yay or nay? Civil War? Yes or no? No, I don't think so either.
I don't think either of these is going to happen.
It's going to be November.
I think this will eventually happen. I think it's inevitable.
It's going to be in November. So like, people are going to be chill, dude. Like, it's not going to happen.
I see. Oh yeah, yeah.
Who's going to want to start a war?
It's
in
a good
November?
Timing for an election, because then you have like turkey comas.
Yeah.
And you have presents and
like maybe after January, maybe.
I don't see it happening.
So right, Jim?
We're not there yet.
Maybe after January, you want to start a civil war, but. Not during the holidays.
Yeah. My question is, if there was a civil war, like let's say there was a civil war, what are the power blocks that would form outside the United States? Like what countries would get involved and on what side?
I had a different thought where I'm like, everyone's a keyboard warrior now. Everyone should be required by law to get in at least one fist fight so that they know that like it's not fun and that a civil war would suck.
It's a good point. We might want people to know what
we need to mandate school bullies.
Wait, what was the last time you got into a fist fight? Probably like in Arizona when I was spying.
Oh, okay.
How old are you?
Oh, this is recent.
Yeah. You should get punched in the face every couple of years. I feel like that's good for you. Interesting.
Will they be on the side of the Patriots? I hope so.
Cool. We're going to go into the next top story. Confessions of an Idiot. Worst, silliest, most stupid mistakes you've made. What's this, Keon?
Oh, yeah. Your hack. Or
one of my two hacks.
Oh, I don't.
Both of them are
possible. Let's see. This is from Dan Lalapan. I believe Dilapan was the editor of Lynn Alden's Broken Money. But they've been doing this great series. Called Money Class, and I think that's the next top story. But this one is, I guess, a break from Money Class, and they describe them forgetting their passport. They're going out of the country for a vacation. They discover that they've forgotten their passport after having, you know, an abnormally great day. I always wonder, like, how much the subconscious mind is. Because he describes his morning as like he's like ecstatic. His girlfriend notices how ecstatic he is, and it doesn't make any sense. But he's just so he's happy. He's grateful for being excited, and then he discovers this dreadful thing. And I always wonder how how much at odds our subconscious mind is with ourselves sometimes, maybe enjoys the dissonance. But anyway, that's his mistake that he made, was he forgot his passport. He had to drive like 10 hours to get it. I wonder if you could just get it express shipped. That would be my thought, immediate thought. I hate driving so much. I'd be like, can I pay someone $100 to get it to me with sooner and without me having to drive? But anyway, he had to drive and spend a bunch of money on gas and stuff. And then he asked Stackers what mistake they've made, what stupid mistake they've made.
I don't know, Jim, what do you got?
Nothing comes to mind. I need somebody else to go first so I have time to think about this one more.
For stupid mistakes? Wow,
I'm pretty sure I make these on the daily. I'm trying to think what's today.
I didn't make mistakes. You know who made mistakes? Donald Trump, okay?
Wait, was your Kamala impersonation sound like Trump?
No. Oh. No, I wasn't trying to do Trump. I was just trying to answer like how she was.
I think today I was supposed to go to the process location earlier. And I went to go meet with Willie first. And looking back on it, he was like, no, you're supposed to go downstairs. I was like, oh, yeah. Why would I come here first? So that was kind of a stupid mistake today I made.
Oh, well, I mean, if you're just scoping to today. Earlier this year, my health insurance changed for the company. And I thought everything was cool. And then it turned out that there was some mistake on Gusto's end, and they actually, something's going on with our insurance. And I just got, I made several phone calls, tried to figure it out at the time. And then there was no resolution. And I was just like, fuck, I'm just so busy. I'm just going to go back to doing this. Like what, you know, if anyone's going to get sick, it's me. And I'll just be sick. I don't need it. And, Gusto offers insurance. You can insure. I mean, yeah. So, that was dumb because insurance is useful because things are priced like you have insurance. So when you don't have insurance and you need to stuff to get done it, it's unrealistic. I think we still have insurance, but it's like, I'm not certain. So now I have this like, question over my head. Am I going to get a $40,000 bill or something? And so it's like, what? But that was like a dumb mistake.
That is kind of dumb, actually.
Yeah. Right.
I have a fun one. So I used to work at Black & Decker, DeWalt tools. I used to work on them. And we used to play with like lithium ion batteries, which are like fucking bombs. Like if you fuck up, you're like, you're toast, you know? And one time I was like, I wasn't in the lab like I was supposed to be. Like Pleb Lab is a lab. It's awesome. Like there's software being made here, but like I'm talking about like a lab where there's like controlled experiments of like explosive electronics and shit. And one time I was like in my cubicle fucking around and I was like 2 inches from my face fucking around with 20 volt battery. And if you short that, it like just blows up in your face. And I got very lucky that it like blew sparks like over my shoulder. It could have like blown them into my eyes or my face and like could have fucked up my eyes. And I screamed like a little girl when that happened. So that's like a fun mistake that I made. I don't know. There's like other ones that have happened, like where even when I'm in the lab, like I fucked up and I plugged in 60 volts into a 20 volt tool. They make different tools, but I like bypassed the safety controls and I plugged 60 volts into 20 volts and it just smoked instantly. It was like, you know, frying bacon. It was just like, and it like made that sound and it just like literally black smoke straight up, like fun stuff like that. So yeah, play with electronics. Always, the first rule of electronics is have fun.
What do you
guys say?
Stupid mistakes. Not the first rule. I mean, I don't know what the first rule is, but I would guess it's like don't die.
The joke is the first rule of gun safety.
Oh, I see.
Well, so you know the adage: work hard, play hard. So there was like a time in my life where I did a 6-month stint of work hard, play hard, where I would work insane hours, and then I would go to these conventions back to back to back, like LA to San Diego to Vegas, just all over. And I never had any time to like eat proper meals. So I would just, I thought this was a cool life hack. I would just go to the grocery store and just buy out all of their sushi at the end of the day and just eat sushi. And I did that for like 6 months straight until I got a mercury poisoning. I'm pretty sure I got mercury poisoning. And yeah, that was a fun one. Oh, wow. Yeah, never again.
Do you feel different when you get mercury poisoning?
Have you heard of the term like mad as a hatter? So like they used to have hat maker. Well, they still have hat makers, but it used to be like hat makers would, they would use some sort of material in making the hat that had mercury in it. And so when they would wear the hat, the mercury would seep into their brain and it would cause them to go crazy. And so I had like a weird stint of delirium once like everything came in, like all the mercury plus just all the alcohol I was drinking. I was dehydrated. Like my whole system was a mess and it like hit me all at once. Yeah, it was wild.
The poor man's ayahuasca trip.
Yeah, it was definitely the poor man's ayahuasca trip.
The poor man's ayahuasca trip.
Yeah. Don't need to take a trip to the Amazon. Just, yeah, just lots of cheap alcohol and grocery store sushi. That's all you need.
I think Tony Robbins apparently got mercury poison. It's like the most famous case of mercury poison that I know of because he used to eat a swordfish salad every day for like years. And swordfish is like one of the, like the oldest fish or the fish that gets the oldest age that we eat.
Does it only happen to you when you, is it through only fish or is it through shrimp or other?
It's usually fish because we have tons of mercury in the oceans because we went through this, like I think through the Industrial Revolution until some other stuff, we were just dumping all kinds of byproducts in the ocean. And now
there are these little ponds. Yeah, it's the farm-raised fish you have to watch out for because they're in these like ponds. The fish are already really unhealthy because they're being overproduced in a tight space. And then there's runoff and all this other stuff that gets into the pond. It doesn't have the same natural filtration that it would be in the ocean. So it's like farm-raised, farm-raised salmon specifically.
I could imagine farm-raised salmon might have higher levels of mercury, but salmon in general, their lives are quite short. And with mercury, the real concern is a fish that's old because it builds up over a lifetime. It doesn't get removed.
Oh, so inorganic mercury poisoning. Oh,
yeah. Anyway, but I think I would guess farm-raised fish, they probably do. I would guess they do have filtration. It depends on the farm-raised fish you're getting, whether you're getting it from certain areas or not. I have my friend's dad, he managed one of these large fishery companies, and I met him in college, and he was pretty adamant that it's like healthier than or as healthy as other fish. At the time I didn't know because I would go to like aquariums and they would pass out these leaflets that you need to eat wild fish, but then I talked to him and he's like no, this stuff, like we take this stuff really, I don't know what it's called, it's like it's not aquaponics. That's like when you grow weed with without soil. Yeah, it might be aquaponics.
No, it actually is. Aquaponics is when you actually use fish. Fish are involved in the process of growing plants.
Oh, and growing the plants. Okay. There's some kind of like he was like a biologist focused on water fish things. Anyway, mercury.
That's mercury for you.
Mercury.
Mercury, if you ever wondered.
Fortunately, Bitcoin is digital. It doesn't have mercury in it.
Yeah.
Check out Mercury. Oh, Mercury Wallet. Mercury is a pretty good fiat bank, if you like fiat banks.
Cool. The next top story, the final top story is Money Class of the Day, Fix FX, Monetary Wizards, and the Trade of the Century. This is from Dilla something. 8 comments, 16,000 cents, econ territory.
This is pretty awesome. If anyone is interested in money and learning more about money in a kind of a more approachable way, I highly recommend subscribing to this series or the OP. Forget Den. I'm just going to call them Den because I don't know how to pronounce the rest of their name. But this is specifically about what made George Soros famous and rich. or it ends that way, but because it's describing pegs and how pegs work, and George Soros got rich. I didn't even know this really, but I'd heard it a little bit that he had been a currency trader and that's how he got rich. But I guess the UK used to peg their currency or try to fix their currency at a certain price relative to other European countries' currencies. And like the Europe had this kind of body that all these European countries would do. This is, you know, predates the euro. This is back in the 90s. And basically what George Soros did was test this peg. And so what he did was he borrowed a bunch of British pounds and then he dumped them on the market, knowing that it would break this peg, and then took advantage of the peg breaking. And then that, I think it's called EKM is what this agreement was called. And so that basically broke the EKM, made George Soros $1 billion. And now we have the euro.
Making money the old fashioned way. Good, hard, honest work. You love to see it.
Yeah, we have to. I mean, we should be. Yeah, we should be very, very thankful because George Soros is obviously, you know, one of the best, one of the great humanitarians of the world in general. And anyway, I was being facetious, and Jim looked at me like I was being serious.
At first, the way you set it up, it sounded that way, but then I realized you're being
wrong. Okay.
Cool.
Sarcastic.
All right. You got any thoughts, Jeffrey?
I think it's cool that, you know, this used to be an area where you feel like, oh, this currency manipulation stuff and breaking pegs is only within the realm of fiat billionaires. But now that we have blockchain technology, anybody can be a degen that manipulates currency pegs.
Doesn't this like strike you like what that story just strike you as like, it's like a video game. It's like they're in GTA and they figured out like the cheat codes to like put miniguns on the biplane that you stole or whatever.
Yeah, that was Terra Luna. It didn't end very well.
You guys didn't... I had that epiphany a long time ago that if you're having fun doing what you're doing, it's a lot like a video game. It's not much, like all of the emotional cues and rewards are basically identical. Maybe they're a little like muted on a relative basis, but it really is all a game. But I see what, I mean, I think the difference between this currency trading shit is like, you know, he's probably already rich, George Soros. It's, you know, there's a very low risk for him. Perhaps to actually get involved in this trade, which is like the feature of most video games, is that you get to practice a ton of agency without any consequences.
Yeah. I was going to ask Topher what his favorite GTA cheat is, if he has one.
Oh, GTA, I never cheat.
You never cheat at GTA. Topher is the most honest man on the planet. He's never cheated in GTA. My favorite was to get the tank and then make it float on water so that you could propel yourself by shooting the turret.
Oh, I would do that anyway.
Wow. Cool. That's the top five stories of Stagger News Live this week. A lot of politics, money, and you know, sharing your losses, I guess. Or mistakes. No one talked about Bitcoin this week except for Darth Coin.
Roughly relate to Bitcoin. You know, yeah. Darth Coin's two top posts are about Bitcoin.
Yeah. Cascaders, Bitcoin payable, guys.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Cool. We're going to jump into my favorite top stories of the week. The first one is NASA sends a shutdown signal to Voyager 2. It has received at a 2.0 billion, is that kilometer, mile? I don't know. Kilometers? So apparently NASA sends a shutdown signal. They shared this post on the Stacker News post, but this is a terrible post to share. So I went ahead and
they're
used
not
this
shutting
one.
It down. It's just making the prophecy made by Star Trek come true.
Yeah. Or, so basically, what happened is Voyager 2 has been a spacecraft in operation 47 years. The spacecraft is currently around 20.9 billion kilometers from Earth. NASA sent the signal to shut down the plasma science experiment on September 26th to save energy and keep the spacecraft operational until the 2030s. The plasma science experiment observed and measured solar winds. What's cool about this is like they're turning off some instruments, and then I think they're supposed to keep it going in some other capacity.
Did you guys ever see that Star Trek movie where like Voyager goes out beyond the known universe and then comes back like sentient and starts doing crazy shit?
It's very possible.
It's just fulfilling the prophecy. It's like he goes out past the Milky Way or something and comes back and he's like a super sophisticated AI that does like crazy stuff and is like a kleptomaniac or something. Star Trek. It's like a Star Trek movie. Yeah, I ruined it. It was like a 20. Yeah, it's one of the million Star Trek movies. So they're just fulfilling the prophecy. So, is what I'm saying. It's one of my dad's favorite.
So what's cool about this one is Pam Melroy. She says they want to continue to do more science, and in order to do that, they have to shut down. All right, hang on, where is it at? Yeah, so they have to. The most useful data from the fourth cup already only arrived 3 months ago, when the spacecraft did a 360-degree turn. Yeah, here it goes. Both the spacecraft are powered by decaying plutonium. Decaying plutonium, Keon. And wow. Lose about 4 watts of power annually. I believe
that's fission.
Only 4 watts. But yeah, I thought that was really cool, dude. They apparently passed the heliosphere 6 years ago. Dude, I'm telling you, man. Old NASA's the best NASA. This new NASA sucks.
What's wrong with the new NASA?
I don't know, man. Just,
you mean they're not doing shit
anymore? They're just not doing shit anymore.
Well, yeah.
Even Elon, he's just fucking shooting rockets in the air, like...
I went to college.
Let's get to space, man. Like, quit just shooting rockets in the air.
I went to this
school. Let's, like, actually, like, do some real Voyager shit. We need some more Voyagers out there. We need more bots out there. Like, Keon, think about this. If you could send a piece of tech out there into space, and you don't know what you're going to use it for, but you want to leave it open-ended enough to where it could do some things later on. Dude, shouldn't you be doing that already? You know what I mean?
I think they're focused on DEI and bullshit though. Like I went to school. Yeah. I went to school with a bunch of people. Like Goddard is like near where I used to live. One of the spaces. I think they're focused on DEI bullshit. Like I went to college with people that are working there, and it's like they used to cheat off me and shit. Like they're not like, that smart.
We need the old NASA back where you send people to die to space. Like that's what we need to do. Like we need to send people out there. Like come on, man.
I think. But you know, it's kind of a trend in our podcast. But I think you're hypercritical at early stages of things. I believe that's exactly what the plan is at SpaceX is to get lots of like
It hasn't. They haven't done anything, Keon. They've been around since I was like 10.
I mean, they've already done more than most of us will do in our lifetime.
I know. That's why we need NASA back. We need to make NASA great again. This is what I'm trying to say. Anyway, I'm on a kick because I saw First Man again this week. It got me super pumped up.
On some level, I get a little bit. I kind of have a visceral reaction to people criticizing Elon because they have some axe to grind with Elon. You can hate Elon. I don't care, but he's incredibly.
This has nothing to do with Elon. This has more to do with NASA.
He's incredibly effective.
We need NASA.
He's doing cool. He's doing really cool stuff, and we should all aspire to.
We need NASA doing great things again. That's all I'm saying. Nothing to do with Elon. Anyways, that was my top story.
You did bring up SpaceX, though. So
yeah, because it's taking too long.
Kind of.
I was trying to find this engineer's name. He has this YouTube channel called Smarter Every Day.
Yeah.
There's actually a really cool video of him. There's actually a really cool video of him going to NASA as a pep talk. Like it's like a Tony Robbins kind of pep talk.
Yeah.
And he just basically chews their ass out over their handling of the Artemis project, the project to get to the moon again.
It's a
really cool video.
Yeah.
Mm. Are we going to the moon or not?
I know.
Who's in the video?
It's the guy behind the YouTube channel Smarter Every Day. I forget his name.
Okay.
We'll drop it on Stacker News. We'll talk about it. Okay, we're gonna jump into the last two stories I have. This was the Pleb Lab Zebedee Hackathon at TabConf. I posted this last week, or no, last Saturday. This team won.
Did you have AI open that? AI write the.
Can you talk about this?
It triggered me, Car
Topher. Can you talk about this Juan Foster?
Yeah. So FROST stands for fast, round, optimized Schnorr signatures with a threshold, which is more words than are letters in the acronym, but that's just how it goes. And so me and Austin worked on this project called Froster, which is taking Frost and applying it to Nostr so that you can have all of the cool features of Frost, which includes like protecting your secret key, decentralizing your secret key, being able to rotate your secret key. That was like a big deal that Nostr's lacking. And just bringing all that, all those features to Nostr so that we can make custody of your identity, which is like a big sell for Nostr. We want to make that great again. Because right now, custodying your identity on Nostr really sucks. Pretty much, if you lose your key, you're done. Your identity's done. There really is nothing you can do about it but create a new one and then go through the painstaking process of telling everybody to forget your old identity and now follow the new identity. It's so we put together this project to fix that problem once and for all. And yeah, that's Froster.
Yeah, we also had some runner-ups. So Pepe, you would have liked this one, Keon. This was a, these guys did like a Nostr, what would you describe it? It was like a Nostr top, Nostr vote. Yeah, it was like hot or not, but for Nostr.
Oh, cool. There were a lot of great Pepes, a lot of great
But no, it was actually using something intricate on the...
It was.
I forget what it was. But it was like, it was a joke, but at the same time, it put a lot of work into it.
My most valuable possession is my rare Pepes that either I made or they're like in my secret rare Pepe cold storage that no one else will see.
And then this is the guys drinking there. This is the guys drinking there, right there, there.
I think this is the source of your mercury poisoning, by the way.
Like that was them. That was in Atlanta. They were drinking
a beer out of the trough.
Yeah, there it goes. Yeah, then even I guess Austin was there too. Yeah, there you go. Sponsored by Vulti. Pretty cool, right? Yeah, it was good. Shout out to Folger and Open Source Justice Foundation for sponsoring the prizes.
Oh, cool. You got Open Source Justice.
Yeah.
That's a good get.
And then the last thing I wanted to mention, and Oliver's out of town this weekend, but he officially started his crowd raise on Timestamp, and I think he's at 27. Yeah, let's fucking go. He's at 27K. Ladies and gentlemen, yeah, he's at 27K. He has another, I think, 2 months to go.
Where is his minimum?
I think his minimum's, what is it?
It's like... I think it's like 2K. I'm actually getting ready to set up a campaign on there. You can see Cascader, but Oliver's leading the way here. Great builder, very professional, very hard worker. I wouldn't bet against this guy. If you guys have
oh, very reasonable.
You know, $2,000 to throw around, I would consider throwing it at this because he works his fucking ass off and he's a beast.
What do you think, Ian?
I think the Pokemon Go stuff is really cool. It's obviously a success. I think if you add maybe supercharge incentives by making them real, I think that's probably way better. I think the valuation cap seems good. I didn't know that was the valuation cap is at 3 million, which is, you know, pretty low, pretty modest. I think I would like the only thing I would like to see, I think I would, if I were investing, I would like to see is a demo video of what they think the game is going to look like. Because I think part of the issue is the intangibility with most things.
Yes.
And so you need to get them as close to possible as what the reality of the future is like.
Well, he has.
So they don't have to imagine.
He has started working on that part already on it. Oh, I think right now it was just like, hey, let's just get it out there first.
Yeah.
And then he's doing the podcasting circuit and then
I think he's gonna make
start,
it.
He's gonna start working on it. But this is basically what he needs for him and his team to live. Like you're not gonna get rich off 250K. Like this is yeah, like, he's literally just trying to live. So.
He's bare bones. He's working his ass off. He's here every day. He's doing what we're doing. And yeah, I think he's probably gonna make a kick ass promo video of him like catching Pokemon over at the Palmer Center.
I think it's gonna be humongous. Amazing. I think it's gonna be big. I think it's gonna be super big. Anyways, wanted to post that on Stacker News. you guys are always talking about, oh, we want to support Bitcoin companies. So here's your chance. Go support Bitcoin companies. Cool. That's all the stories I got this week. Let's jump into, or do you have any meta or anything like that, Ken?
Well, we had an AMA with Matt Hill from Start 9, which was awesome. Okay. Lots of great stuff in there. And so I was really happy to have Matt Hill on. We also had Lisa on her birthday, came on Zacker News for an AMA.
Doxed.
And nice. That was pretty great. I think it was her second AMA. I don't think I really have much other meta. At the retreat, I did a presentation, which I put on Zacker News. You can go to my profile to view the presentation.
Did you read this one right here? I skipped through this.
That one. Good. Good for skimming. That you can view that. The other meta, I did a release today that was a bug fix, so it's not that big of a deal. But that's about it.
Cool. Yeah, I think that looks really good. Hey, what's up, Will? You want to come say hi? So we have Will Cole, business. Yeah, we're live already.
Austin legend.
Yeah, here. So we do this crazy show called Stack Things Live every week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I've seen it. Yeah.
Oh.
You can see yourself right
there. There we go. How are you guys liking the new digs?
It's pretty good.
Oh, they're amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah. You guys did a great job.
Yeah,
with Unchained, we're happy to ride your coattails. Really,
a lot of energy in the Bitcoin Commons and blah blah these days. So I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
Now we're just talking about the top five stories on Stacker News Live.
And, okay.
But Keon had just went to his retreat with Max Webster, and he had a pitch in front of Max's LPs. This is what he pitched him.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Okay.
How you keep the branding in slides.
Yeah, you know, you got to go hard.
What do they say, Keon, when you're like pitching at these LPs? Do they think you're crazy?
No, not really. I mean, the crowd is pretty, you know, they're like maybe not super deep on Bitcoin, but interested in Bitcoin. They're not super familiar with Stacker News, but they kind of vaguely understand it. And they're just looking, they're like a VC, but a VC light. They're like looking for a very, like, which I mean, like very high level things. Growth, vision. They're basically judging Max through my presentation, and so I'm trying to make myself look as good as possible to make Max look as good as possible, and that is what this presentation was for the most part.
Will, do you ever have to deal with LPs?
What do you mean LPs?
Licensed partners in a VC fund.
Oh, okay. Yes, I do. Well, normally it's, you know, with a VC fund, they're just looking to do like follow on investments. They're already in the VC. They would want to make a double down or something like that. So yeah, we've had plenty of those at Stack Overflow, Unchained, Zaprite. Yeah.
Yeah. If people don't know, Will used to be at Stack Overflow, and he's been doing this great blog series. What's the name on your blog series?
It's the name of the blog series is The Invariance of Software Development.
Invariance of Software Development.
It's on my little blog, which is called The Tools of Ignorance.
The Tools of Ignorance. Yeah. Really excellent guide. He's also been on Jimmy Song's podcast recently, if you want like a preview of it before you.
Yeah, we're halfway through. We were just speccing out his new application just 10 minutes ago.
Cool. Yeah. But now Will's at Zaprite helping out.
Tools of Ignorance. XYZ. It's not, yeah.
Trying to find it. There he goes, right?
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
There you go.
That's me.
Yeah.
Every day.
Let's take a look.
Yeah. Learn how to do product development the right way.
I'm going to have to update this with all the AI developments. You know, this is how I've been working for the past, you know, 15 years. But
do you think it really makes a difference? AI,
it makes a huge difference.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, the speed in which you can get through the planning phases and the fidelity that you can do it at. You know, a lot of this is just words on a page. It's like trying to convince people to set a strategy, write a functional spec, write a technical spec, plan out your data model before you're just writing code.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have the aid of AI, like, you can do a lot more on the coding side earlier in the project without all the downsides of you know, I argued that you want these words on the page in the strategy and spec just because it's easy and cheap to fix those things, you right. know, and it's expensive to change the code. You can just do higher fidelity specing, basically.
This is so yeah.
True. This is so true, though. Oh, the QA engineer.
I shared this in the chat.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's just talking about the QA phase and making sure your stuff works because it is never going to work the way you want it to. Yeah,
or never work if you're.
But yeah, I mean, like the whole. I mean, it doesn't change like the truths of the you know what I think are the invariants of software. Like you have to have a vision and a strategy.
It's a better tool.
You have to, but the tooling has really kind of changed the way even I like to spec things out. Like
you can go farther, faster in the spec process.
Probably. I can go deeper.
Yeah.
You know, if I have a very clear vision, I can be of more use to a programmer as a product manager. I can do higher fidelity sort of functional specs. I can actually show how I want something to work, not just say how I want something to work.
Oh yeah, you know? Okay.
Which is kind of amazing. And I can even build little prototypes on my own. Yeah. I mean, I used to be a programmer, but I haven't programmed in like 10 years really. And so, you know, I've been useless on that front for a long time.
Yeah, plus that'd be a huge investment.
It would be a waste of my time. Yeah, and the programmer's time is but now I can actually do things that can like tee them up better.
What are the top tools you use?
I mean, Anthropic's really good, like right now. Like better than ChatGPT when it comes to this type of stuff because I can, well, for a few reasons. Like one is a lot of the functional speccing is incomplete in like a product manager developer relationship because I get to the point where it's like, and then you got to define the data model, right? I can get suggestions on this. It's like, given these features.
But it can get you a first pass at it. Where exactly. You're not just exactly. Like, figure it out.
You yeah.
Like,
and then like, I can even build.
Kind of what I want. And it got like 7 of the 10 that I need.
Sure.
You know, fields that I need. That
like more guidance. Like when you're the one that has like the vision and the idea to, for the feature or product or whatever you're building, right? Anthropic's really good. The Vercel V0 is really cool on like the front end side. I can, you know, I usually use things like Balsamiq mockups, which are intentionally kind of cartoonish and sketchy and weird because, you know, I want to give that to a front end person or a designer, and it's so bad in terms of like the sketchiness that they know I don't want them to just make that. Like they can still use their own creativity, but if I use Vercel, it's pretty high fidelity.
So it seems like Vercel might be pushing this, but Figma looks like they might have a decent.
Yes.
They must have so much goddamn data, right? So you figure.
Yeah.
You figure theirs might be pretty good. I think it's a little bit different, though,
because Figma doesn't have a lot of like code, right? They have images.
Okay.
So Vercel's.
So do you hand code off to the engineer or what do you do? Like,
oh, no. So like what I'm describing on the Vercel side is that like you're building a web app, you know, whatever, and you want it to look a certain way. It has buttons here and a chart here and a table there and, you know, all that type of stuff. I would usually just mock that up by hand, like in a, you know, whatever,
right?
Photoshop and then or whatever.
You give it to Vercel and it's like makes it based on the image.
No. So in Vercel, I give it text prompts.
Got it. Okay.
Right. And it writes HTML and CSS, and it gives me the output of that, right?
Right.
So it's not based on an image, although that would be pretty fucking sweet as well.
I do that all the time.
Can you do that in V0 now? Oh, yeah. I just haven't been using
it. I do that in Anthropic. Yeah. I'm like, this is what I want it to look like.
And yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It's like, okay.
And so you can do a lot of fun
and it takes like 2 or 3 tries, but it works. I mean,
yeah. And once they can actually iterate on the images themselves, like you kind of have to start from scratch every time. It's just like, here's the file. And, you know, and if it gets it wrong, it's not like you can say like, oh no, just change this part of it. It doesn't work like that. But, yeah, I mean, those tools, I mean, I don't have like, I'm gonna have to rewrite it once I've been using them more, not rewrite it, but like an appendix, you know, because it's like what you do when you're planning out a software project, I think is greatly changed. I mean, with things like, computer use and stuff like that, that just came out in the last 2 weeks. There's more semi-technical people can do to set things up.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, I have so many questions. Well, I mean, so one question, but because people probably didn't want us to talk about product development. But
oh god!
But does product development, in your opinion, change between a big team and a small team?
Hugely.
Okay.
In terms of like the execution, in terms of like the invariance, I name them invariance because I do think it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're on your own in that office.
Yeah.
Staring out there is like, if you don't have a strategy, you're going to waste a lot of time coding.
Yeah.
If you don't have a spec, you're going to waste a lot of time coding, right?
Yeah.
If you start with code and work your way backwards, it's just expensive, time consuming. Like, you need to have a plan. And
it's really interesting because I think a lot of, I think that's a lot of what experience has gotten me to do that intuitively.
Yeah.
But it would be so nice to have these invariants beforehand. Yeah. So I didn't even have to build the intuition.
Well, I mean,
or maybe I had the intuition sooner.
A lot of this is for non-programmers in a way, which is like, I think that programmers think like this right off the bat, right?
At
is
least
that
a little, yeah.
the key to everything is like solve problems at higher levels of abstraction before you solve problems at lower levels of abstraction. And I feel like programmers, that's like, if you can't do that, then like, you know,
yeah,
you're gonna have a lot of trouble.
Be a junior dev forever.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. You know, but for PMs and stuff like that, in designers and the software team together, it's like, that kind of follows this idea of like strategy and design and code and testing, and that there's no way to get away from that like order of operations.
Yeah.
Now it can take 5 minutes. Like, you just write something down.
Yeah.
You
know? Anything is better than nothing.
At bigger teams, you need more documentation, but you still do the same things. You just argue about it more.
I see.
When tools of ignorance.
There you go.
Will, I want to ask you something.
What do you think of this setup here?
So if you don't know, I mean, how much did you talk about the new office already?
Not at all.
Okay, so like we're at the Bitcoin Commons right next door. If you've been to Austin, Texas, come to a BitDevs, done the South by Southwest Bitcoin takeover, you know the space. Pleb Lab is now right next door. I mean, this is amazing. Right here, you know, all the boys and girls. You know, we
look at this desk, dude. This was hauled away in that room.
Oh, I know. I mean, I used to do a lot of work on this desk when I was at Unchained.
Beautiful desk.
So we got Unchained to my left, we got Pleb Lab where we are, and Bitcoin Commons to our right. This is, I mean, if this isn't the Bitcoin capital of the world, what is, right?
I don't know. This is pretty big.
Austin, Texas, 6th in Congress. Like, come on, let's go.
We got some big names here. A lot of big names. It's kind of cool. We saw Justin Moon earlier, just came in the lab.
Yeah.
Tony.
I saw Jimmy Songs in shorts. Is that what I'm saying? For the first time in a while.
I just ate 4 pounds of meat with Jimmy and then wrote a spec with him. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, man. Like, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds you of like TRL Great. Live. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like the backdrop.
We need a moving camera, though.
And look, I bet you these guys watching, you haven't seen a single bum yet, have you? Right? We've been cleaning up the streets here. This isn't the old Pleb Lab, man. Yeah? Where you're dodging shanks left and right.
Well, we might have some stackers.
Crackhead wrangling is the new sport in Texas.
Yes. Oh gosh. Well, guys, I don't want to interrupt your normal operating business.
No, it was great. It was great having you.
Do you want to talk about anything about voting or anything like that?
Voting?
About Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday.
For the election.
Well, assuming we stop the steal. Sorry, you can see where I'm going with this. No, you know, go out and vote. I guess it matters. You know, here in Texas, if you love Bitcoin, you know what to do. I think it's pretty self-evident. Yeah. We're going to free Ross. We're going to get him out.
Yes.
How's that feel?
That feels pretty good.
Did you know that I went from like, I think it was kindergarten. It might've been like second grade, but, Ross and I were like homeroom buddies. Like,
really?
Yeah. Oh. Sixth grade, seventh grade. We're in a lot of classes. Right. Yeah. And he's like in class with me and Parker at Westridge Middle School, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
He was a good kid.
Wow.
I mean, I wasn't like best friends or anything, but like, you know.
Well, he was a Boy Scout too. Like, he was a normal kid.
He was a Boy Scout. He was an Eagle Scout.
Yeah. I didn't know that. That's
but we got our best chance ever coming up here on Tuesday. Let's get it done.
Yeah. Thanks, Will. Thanks for coming on the show.
Appreciate it. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Yeah. There you go.
Legend.
Yeah, go ahead, Austin.
I was just thinking, I was walking downstairs a few minutes ago, and I was like, man, I want to hear some product advice from Will. I come back up. Here we go.
That's all you need to do. You just need to come back up.
Embedded in the Austin Bitcoin community is like.
Dang, dude. I think at this point, I don't even know. Oh, here, let me set this back up. I think I lost my thing here. Okay, cool. We need to go back to Stacker News. Sorry.
Spent too much time on Will's OnlyFans.
Cool. What are we going into now? I feel like I'm lost.
We go to Top Cowboys.
It's been a weird show.
It has been.
Weird show in meaning like there's no structure. Awesome. Okay, cool. We're going to go into Top.
Who's the host of TRL?
Carson Daly.
Carson Daly.
Makes sense. That's, okay, here we go.
It's kind of high time preference, though.
We're going to go into
Yearly.
Top Stackers of the Week. Top Stackers of the Week, Keon. Let's get this train moving.
Okay.
You're going to put on your stupid hat.
Oh, that's right. My bad. Well, don't call it stupid.
It is stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, you got fans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, I'm going to call it now. This time next year, there'll be people with yellow hats behind us watching us live. I guarantee it.
I don't know about that.
I'm telling you. Look, they're all going to be lining up behind us watching Stacker News live on the side of the street with yellow hats.
It'll be a while.
I already see it. Go for it.
Okay. Yeah. Everyone's in hiding that has the longest cowboy streaks, aside from me. But I don't know if anyone has dropped out recently. We should add like weekly changes to these.
Yeah, you probably should.
Kind of the usual suspects as far as eventually we'll include in the segment the cowboy or the other cowboy accessories. Yep. So people could see how long someone's had a horse and a gun and stuff, which are much harder.
Let's jump into the Cowboys of the Week. This is the most popular segment in Bitcoin, apparently.
Wait, I thought we were already in the cowboy segment. We did.
No, that was Top Stack.
That was value. Okay.
Yep. This is the popular cowboy segment that everybody loves.
Dude. Okay. Well, I'm apparently second. And then Bitcoin is the future. I mean, sometimes they don't post a lot.
Which one?
Cowboy Alien.
Cowboy Alien? Where is that at?
It's the fifth one.
Oh, yeah. 117? Oh, I never noticed that. Wow, that is strange, huh? Oh, that's why I don't. I have this block, I think. Yeah, I have that block.
There was a Star Wars that had an alien that wore a cowboy hat. It reminds me of that quite a bit.
Blockchain Boog. Apparently, Blockchain Boog.
Mandalorian, I think.
Apparently, Blockchain Boog was at TabConf. He was wearing a Stacker News hat. Topher.
Oh, we saw him.
Yeah.
He doxed himself on Fountain.
He doxed himself on Fountain. Yeah. Oh. Isn't that crazy?
He didn't even
come up to me at all.
I don't recall meeting them, you know, like
I think he said that he didn't come up to me or he said, here, let me read.
He said he said he met me, but he didn't tell me he was Blockchain Boog.
Yeah. So he said, saw you at TabConf car. I was wearing the Stacker News hat. Next time I'll see you. Next time I see you in person, I'll introduce myself, Zap. Yeah. Apparently Blockchain Boog.
I like people being in and on, so I think it's more fun. I think the mystery is more fun, usually.
I think I know who it is, I think.
I have a suspicion as well.
Right?
Yeah, but I don't know.
There was one guy,
yeah. Anyways, docs.
Anyway.
Cool.
Yeah, that's the cowboy segment.
That
car is not into anymore now that he doesn't have people telling him.
I think I had like four hornitos. I'm just coasting.
It's a secret.
Oh, it's a secret.
You can read code.
Cool. Let's jump into
it's pretty hard. You can't.
Jump into the comments.
I usually don't have a horse.
We had Nick T said, sick background. I give it 2 weeks before a flasher appears on 6th Street. See, that's what I was thinking. There you go. We got Ted. Ted said, for Voyager, they have to keep rewriting the software. 70s Fortran because of the bit flips, but they're losing control of thruster control so they can point it at Earth.
Oh, because of radiation.
He also says, look into
that's cool.
NASA's Voyager Grand Tour. Actually, let me see if I can click that. I can't click that, Ted. Sorry. Vake said, Space Exploration is bad. We don't want to attract the attention of alien races before planetary defense.
Okay, Vic is a dark forest kind of guy.
Wow, interesting. Do you think it's bad, space exploration?
Do I think space exploration is
bad? When you look at it from that point of view.
I mean, you can. If you believe the universe is widely populated and you believe that evolution or a creator will produce adversarial populations of beings, then yeah, it is bad.
I think I take the whole. I think I take the whole Carl Sagan approach to it, where it's like, why would you waste time and energy, you Keon, to go stomp an ant pile in like Beijing or something? You wouldn't.
I'm with that too. I actually think that if beings have achieved like this super high intelligence,
yeah,
level,
you would. You're not going to care to like go stomp an ant pile.
I think there's some, most game theory suggests that they're likely cooperative and not.
The only other way defectors. I could see it is more like Childhood Zen, where they just slowly, get you used to comfortability to the point of extinction. That's what Childhood Zen's about. Anyways, Ted said 50% of active satellites are SpaceX.
Yeah, dude.
There you go. I guess they are shipping
stuff. They're
killing it. Shipping junk into space, Ted. That's what they're doing. And then Bumby says, can we get a shout out for our posts? Which post was it?
Yeah, Bumby, come on.
Which post?
This might be why you need a shout out.
He said the same thing last week, I think.
Did he?
Somebody
did. Oh, maybe it's the Walletano guy.
Was it the Walletano guy? Oh, hang on, my bad. That's not me. I had a couple Hornitos. Let me see. Was it the Walletano guy?
No.
Bumby. No, I don't see Bumby on here.
We don't know who you are, Bumby.
Sorry, bud. Anyways. Cool. Keon, what are you doing this weekend?
What am I doing? I might pack or unpack my office. I have a lot of code review. I haven't done much code review in the last week, yeah. And so we're backed up.
Me too. I need to get through all this stuff.
Yeah.
So much work to do. Topher, what are you doing this weekend?
Working one of my three jobs. Yeah, just getting a froster off the ground.
Live, laugh, love. Just kidding. Probably lifting, working on a cascader, and maybe I'd have a few drinks.
You know what I feel like doing? I feel like getting good sushi after this mercury poisoning talk. Sushi actually sounds really good right now.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well,
I guess Stackers this weekend. If you saw, what did we mention last weekend? True Grit. What's a good cowboy movie, Jim? Give the Stackers a good cowboy movie to watch.
Man, I don't know. I don't have a good one off. I'm going Kamala mode, dude.
I personally haven't watched a lot of westerns myself.
So do you have a good cowboy movie?
Out of sorts.
Like a legit cowboy movie. It's not True Grit. Has True Grit been taken off the table?
Yeah, that was like last week, I think.
That was an amazing one. Let me think. You know, my mind is blocked right now because all I can think of is cowboys and aliens because
Jim
brought out that alien one. With a cowboy hat.
Tombstone is a good one.
Josie
Wells
is good. I like that one.
Val Kilmer.
I'll be your Huckleberry. Yeah.
Watch this one.
Good pick.
Zap.